Lord Byron's poem interpreting the events of our text perhaps strays from the true theological point, but it nevertheless gives us a starting point. The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. The world's most ruthless army, perhaps that history has ever seen, this ruthless army stands at the gates of Jerusalem, no longer satisfied with tribute as they were in the past, but they seek to destroy and to devastate and to burn, as their own annals would say. The conquered, they would impale on poles, flay to death, and behead. And the son of David, you can be sure, will receive the worst of it. The one who dared not submit to tyranny, the one who restored freedom, prosperity, faithfulness, and the will of the Lord among his people, this one will surely hang from a pole with his skin scourged from his body. Hezekiah is frightened, to be sure. He knows his weaknesses. He knows his failings and his sins. And yet he remains faithful because the word of God has brought forth this faith in him. The promises of God are sure. He knows, on the one hand, that the Assyrian has been raised up as God's army. The Lord has planned it, that the Assyrian should turn fortified cities into heaps of ruin, while inhabitants shorn of strength are dismayed and confounded. This is God's Assyrian to bring low the wicked and the proud of the earth. And yet he knows that God's promises are true and that God will not be mocked. Similarly, for you today, the devil and his cohorts stand outside the gates of your soul. They are not terrifying to your eyes, for they hide under the people and the circumstances of this world. But these are not natural circumstances. These are circumstances that have been twisted and distorted, circumstances that have become horrid. And so they hide in ways to attack you, to unsettle you, to make you afraid, to fear the ruthlessness of the wicked. So what is it that you suffer today? Bodily afflictions, such as weariness, a lack of attention, anxiety, depression, cancer, heart disease, miscarriage, temptation or addiction to hateful sins, despairing sins that make you even wonder about Christ's mercy. What evil pursues you when you are lonely in the late hours of the night, and what evil do you pursue during this loneliness? These are the Lord's devils, but they afflict the Lord's faithful people. They attack the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the very body that he has built up, building you up also into the temple, which is his son. These devils afflict you, and in their divine task, they go too far in doing so. They mock God's people, and in so doing, they mock the living God. They rage against the Lord, and their complacency has come into his ears. And so the Lord has not left them to their own devices, for the devil is the Lord's devil. He will turn him back by the way in which he came. The Lord is your rescuer. The Lord is your salvation. And so as this son of David, as we heard in our account, prayed for mercy and victory in the house of the Lord, so the son of David, the greater son of David, prays for mercy and victory in the house which is his body, and for the house which is his body. To spare this son of David, about whom we heard, from being impaled on a pole, another son of David, the greater son of David, was impaled upon a cross. And so to spare you from death, from the downward spiral into sin, from eternal despair, another son of David would suffer death, would suffer perhaps near despair, only to turn this defeat back on the devil, back on his cohorts, away from the house of the Lord, so that this house would be reestablished, rebuilt in 3 days. Even in the face of a multitude of enemies, even in the face of great suffering and affliction, whether to your body, to your mind, to your loved ones, or whether by great temptation, take comfort in the promise of the Lord that you shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The Lord will rescue you. He will restore you. And while you wait on the Lord, while you suffer the night of darkness and trepidation, keep his words on your lips, the promise that he offers you on your heart, the very words that he gives you to pray in these times of darkness and loneliness. Oh, restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol does not thank you, death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. The living man who is Christ, the living man who is you, who have been brought into Christ's body, this living man thanks you as I do today, as you do today. And the Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. With these words, be comforted as the word of the Son of David hedges you in, binds you up, and releases you from assault. As Lord Byron concludes, slightly modified for theological correctness, for the angel of God spread his word on the blast and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. And the widows of Ashur are loud in their wail, and the idols are broke in the temple of Baal. And the might of the devil, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow by the blood of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord will do this. And so to our Lord Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.